Welcome to the Principled Podcast, brought to you by LRN. The Principled Podcast brings together the collective wisdom on ethics, business and compliance, transformative stories of leadership, and inspiring workplace culture. Listen in to discover valuable strategies from our community of business leaders and workplace changemakers.
Welcome to Principled. In celebration of our 25th year, we are bringing you this podcast series. Today, I have Danielle Schlar, who is the Global Head of People at LRN. Danielle, it's great to have you here.
Thanks so much, Marcia. It's great to be here.
So Danielle, if we can get started, just share a little bit about your background, how, you know, your journey, your career, and how did you come to us here at LRN?
So I started my career in the legal field doing HR at a law firm. That was back when HR technology was just kind of getting into its stride. I then started doing HR for technology startups. They typically don't have HR. It's the last person you think of when you're joining a startup. So that was a very interesting experience of sort of building HR from the ground up. And then I joined LRN, and it's been so exciting to work at a company that's been focused on behavior and culture for the last 25 years.
Yeah, and I would think that, you know, as you've looked through different types of industries and organizations, the role of people management and enablement of people as a differentiator really matters. So the type of role that an individual like yourself plays can help shape and influence really the corporate culture of an organization. So tell me a little bit more around how you see your role within an organization crafting and charting organizational culture.
Culture is probably the number one thing that people talk about when they want to join new companies. When we do interviews, we always ask people, what are you looking for in your next role? And the number one response is always a great culture. So it really is up to the people leader and those that are focused on culture to really make sure that the culture is inspiring, make sure that people want to be at work, want to join an organization, and once they join, to make sure that they want to stay there. You know, retention, recruiting right now are kind of the two biggest things that we like to focus on here at LRN. And in order to do that, we really want to make sure that we have a culture that celebrates our employees, that makes employees feel happy to come to work every day. And really, while I believe that's everyone's responsibility in the workplace, it is part of the kind of people team to make sure that that really comes through to everyone, both internally and externally.
Tell me a little bit about the mentors that have helped influence you in your journey.
Well, I can say one of the great things about joining LRN is I was able to join with someone I had worked with for the past 10 years at two other jobs in my career. And it's so important to have people that support you, that support your journey, that understand the work that you do. HR can be a bit challenging because you're not a revenue generator. You're a cost center within an organization. And so you want to make sure that even from all levels of the organization, you have support, you have people to bounce ideas off of, you have a diversity of ideas. And for me, it's always, you know, sometimes HR is the only woman with a seat at the table. And so it's very important for me to know that I have supporters both kind of from the top down and also from the bottom up to make sure that they feel like HR is supporting our employees. And in order for me to do that, I have to make sure that I feel supported.
You know, in light of some of the outcomes of the Me Too movement and some of the difficult conversations that are happening within organizations, there is a significant focus around diversifying the board, diversifying the executive team. What are you seeing kind of in that realm in terms of how that can impact and help the business?
I think diversity is always a challenge within an organization. You tend to want to work someplace where you see people that are like you. And if you do not have diversity amongst your staff, then it's very hard to kind of create a place where people who are diverse want to work. I know that's something we've worked very hard at here at LRN. We're trying to do it in ways kind of outside the norm. We want to support women founded businesses in New York. We want to make sure that we have a diversity and inclusion team, which we've started here, that has members from all over the organization. But we also want to make sure that everyone feels included, that it's not just you participate because you have a diversity of ideas, you participate because it's something that you feel really passionate about. And so we want to make sure that we're bringing that to the organization as well. From a leadership perspective, I think it's going to continue to be a conversation until there are real changes made in the industry. I think you still see a lot of boards and a lot of leadership teams that are all people of one color, of one gender. And I think we're starting to see really good strides through that. But I do think it's going to continue to be a challenge. And I think, you know, it's going to continue to rankle with people until we start to see some real change.
No, yeah, we're certainly seeing it, I would say, in a lot of the organizations we connect with in the realm of developing their compliance and ethics strategies. Mm-hmm. Increasingly, we're seeing more and more HR stakeholders come to the conversation with mm-hmm. compliance. Tell me a little bit more about where you see that shared or overlap in responsibility going, especially, you know, we're seeing, you know, issues around bias, sexual harassment, we're even seeing legislation around that. So how do you see kind of the collaboration between compliance and ethics and HR?
As we talked about the Me Too movement, you're seeing a lot more collaboration between HR and compliance. You know, it used to be sort of compliance was doing the programs, or even HR was doing the programs, but there wasn't a real focus on behavioral change. And I think now you're seeing compliance officers and HR leaders really working together, not to do sort of check the box solutions, but to really engender behavior change within organizations. We want to make sure that our employees know what's right and wrong and modify their behavior to do that, not just create rules for them to understand that.
What role, kind of from your seat at the table, what role do leaders play in helping drive that conversation forward? Like, are they really a critical chess piece on this board? Is it important for leaders to drive that dialogue?
Of course it is. I think it's all about sort of tone from the top, especially when it comes to sustaining ethical business practices and sustaining ethical behavior in the workplace. Employees are going to modify and practice their behavior based on what they see from their leaders, their mentors, their managers. And so I think it's an incredibly important seat at the table. We're seeing more and more candidates as we're recruiting talk about the fact that they want to work for businesses that are mission driven, that stand for something, that practice ethical behavior. And so I think that in order to ensure not only internally that your employees want to do that, but also that your reputation externally allows for that, it's all leaders at all levels of the business need to really be focused on that.
And how about around developing or coaching leaders around the skills that they need for the 21st century organization? You know, what are some of the trends you're seeing in that area?
I think it's all about training. We've been to a couple conferences. We've seen a lot of work with, I believe, our partners here at LRN about making sure that our leaders are trained not only in the sort of sexual harassment prevention, but also tone from the top and walking the talk and making sure that leaders not only are practicing those hard skills, but also practicing the soft skills that they need to make sure that employees are feeling that they are supportive in providing an ethical culture.
I know. I mean, I've certainly seen over last few years, one of the topics that tends to come up is, you know, we want to develop a speak out culture mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that our workforce, you know, feels comfortable in escalating their concerns to leaders. And then on the receiving end, the leaders are like, we haven't been, you know, equipped or trained mm-hmm. to really know how to respond. So that's where, you know, when you look at kind of the convergence of HR and compliance, I think there's certainly an opportunity there to progress and innovate in that area. But specifically, if we kind of delve into some of the uncomfortable topics around eradicating bias mm-hmm. or implicit bias in culture and developing greater sensitivity to how we speak in respectful ways, service our customers, you know, what is some of the advice you have for our listeners in embedding these strategies into how they develop the people part of their organization?
I would say it's all about training. And I want to put an exclamation point on that because they're, you know, everyone wants to prevent bias and everyone wants to be inclusive. But we're just not equipped with the right skills to do that unless we're taught them, and not everyone is taught them. And so I think especially as the workforce is changing, as people, you know, are not necessarily full-time employees, but coming in as consultants, if people are leaving the workforce, you have the younger generation joining the workforce, I think it's really important to make sure that everyone is trained on how to prevent implicit bias, how to interview appropriately, how to respectfully communicate at all levels of the organization. I don't think it's just the managers that need that training, but I think mm-hmm. it's everyone coming in, everyone leaving. You have four different generations in the workplace right now, and everyone's been raised very differently. And so I think There have been a lot of ways in which people want to make sure that they are getting that level of training to be able to provide a great workplace and a workplace that is really full of diverse candidates, as we talked about.
How much do you think the application of what has been learned in the training is effective? So, like I often say, you know, what gets measured matters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there should be embedded in that strategy other pillars or factors around, you know, evaluating or assessing the application of, okay, you know, we've trained our management team, we've trained our workforce. Does measuring it matter?
It definitely does. And I would say a great place to place that and a good place for kind of the convergence of HR and compliance, once again, is to embed it in the performance management process. So employees, when they're evaluated, whether or not it's once a year, which I don't recommend, or having continual feedback, I think having these softer skills, these management skills, these kind of respectful communication skills, adding them as a part of the performance process really allows people to see kind of the impact and see that the training that they're taking and work that they're putting in based on that training is really having an impact on their role, on their responsibility, on promotions, obviously on compensation. So things like that, I think, are measurable and should be part of any performance evaluation, along with sort of the more sort of hard skills of the job.
And speaking of, you know, kind of the putting it into action and the measurement aspect, we see a lot of organizations starting to shift around leading with values.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of talk about, you know, really putting our values into practice. Where do you see the opportunity in connecting values to behavior and measurement? Like, practically speaking, what can companies do to put values into action?
It's a great question, and I think it's something that a lot of companies really struggle with, especially as we move towards more values-based organizations. And I think one of the things that you can really do is make sure that those values are trickling from all areas of the organization. If you have core values in your organization, talk about them, have them up on the board somewhere, have them be in on your intranet, or give them to your employees, train your employees on them, put them in performance management, make sure that it's kind of in all areas of their day-to-day work. Otherwise, they're not going to take them in. They're not really going to be able to use them. They want to see those actions and those values being worked on by all members of the organization from the top down. Have your managers trained on them, and then have them put those behaviors into action by doing mentoring, doing leadership training, training other members of the organization, train the trainer, do all of those things to make sure that it's really kind of embedded in all aspects of the organization.
Yeah, because if you're not talking about the values and you're not presenting them or discussing them in the context of what matters to, you know, the employee, then it just becomes just a nice window dressing on a wall. So I completely agree with you, but it's still a struggle for organizations to really embed that kind of language back into the business.
It is, and I think it's also for employees, as you said, make sure that your values are what matters to your employees. If you don't have values, if you are trying to change your values, talk to your employees, find out what they really value, and then put those, make sure that those are embedded into your core values. Core values shouldn't just come from kind of one person at the top, but from the organization as a whole.
So talk to me a little bit about the importance of recognition, both formal and informal, in building a healthy corporate culture.
Recognition, to me, is the number one thing you can do for employees that often costs very little. It's a great way to show employees that you care about them, to show that you're celebrating them, and often doesn't necessarily hit the bottom line. So it's a great way to not drain on your resources, but also allow employees to feel recognized and special. One thing that we've done here at LRN is in our performance management process, we've embedded our own culture as part of the performance management. So we rate people on how they act in accordance with our values. We also have awards that are based on our core values, on our leadership framework. We want to make sure that people are acting in a way that we believe is the best that they can be here at LRN. So making sure that your recognition, making sure that your awards are based on what those values are and shouldn't necessarily just be tied to who sold the most or who renewed the most accounts, but also based on those behavioral value cultures.
Well, I've learned so much, Danielle, today, and I appreciate you sharing your insights with our listeners. And thank you for joining us here on Principled, and we hope to have you again soon.
This was great. Thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Principled Podcast is brought to you by LRN. At LRN, our mission is to inspire principled performance in global organizations by helping them foster winning, ethical cultures rooted in sustainable values. Please visit us at LRN.com to learn more. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to leave us a review.